Let us pray. Gracious and merciful Father in heaven, it is with thanksgiving that we gather together in this place of worship to honor and glorify thee as we have begun with song and prayer, and our eyes of faith looking up to thee as thou hast drawn us from our homes to this place to worship thee, to adore thy name. We pray that thou would, in thy tender mercy, lead us, as it were, by the still waters, that our souls might be refreshed by the reading of thy word, by the proclamation of thy truth, and the renewing of thy Holy Spirit to thy children, and the proclamation of thy gospel of salvation to those who are yet lost in sin. We pray that thou would touch their hearts and instruct us each in the ways of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to whom we dedicate this day in all of our words and our worship, in all of our thoughts and our actions. May thy name be praised, and may we look up to thee and hallow thy name. These things we do ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. With God's help, I desire that we would turn together to the scripture contained in Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 3.
Nađene da se uz Božju pomoć čita iz poslanice apostola Pavla Titu, treća glava. Poslanica apostola Pavla Titu, treća glava.
Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. The Lord bless the reading of his word. We all bow before them in prayer. We've read together the last portion of a letter that Apostle Paul wrote to Titus. As was mentioned in the prayer, the younger minister who is appointed to the island of Crete to set in order the things in the churches. And as Apostle Paul would conclude the letter, he writes many reminders to Timothy and to the churches of things that are needful. And one thing that stands out as particularly beautiful and precious, right here in the middle of the chapter, speaking of the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It is set, as it were, like a gem in a crown, a centerpiece of beauty and purity, of richness for our lives. And believers understand and know how precious is that salvation and how central that truth of that God has reached down and sent his only begotten Son, that man who is unworthy and undeserving might be redeemed, might be cleansed, and might have hope of eternal life, as it is recorded here. And all of that comes through Jesus Christ, through the Savior. And that is where I believe that the Lord has impressed upon my heart that every verse that we would read and meditate upon would be directed to that central theme of Jesus Christ, the redemption. Because it is of priceless meaning to the believer, and it encourages our heart, and it strengthens us and motivates us to be faithful to him on a daily basis. And it is also the hope for you, our friends, the redemption in Jesus Christ, that you would not be lost for eternity to suffer in hell, but that you would have a hope of eternal life with the Lord and find fulfillment and meaning to your life. It's in Jesus Christ and in his redemption. It's that pearl of great price that Jesus said, someone who desires it will sell everything that they have to obtain it. The beauty of redemption in Christ Jesus. Put them in mind. Put them in mind, Paul says. Remind the believers of things. Remind them where they have been. Remind them what God has done for us. Remind them about the Christian life, because all of them are a testimony of what God has done. And all of them are pointing to the great work that God has done in Jesus Christ and his beautiful redemption. He says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. It's a testimony to the world in our obedience to the scriptures that we would show respect and obedience to the laws of the land and those who enforce it. We read in Romans chapter 13 that we should give honor. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And he says, wherefore ye must be needs subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake, before God and his holy word, that we might have a good conscience, following the laws, following those who enforce them. We read in Timothy, Apostle Paul instructs Timothy and the believers that were in Ephesus, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Prayer for those that are in authority. God can use children of his who take the word and what it says, even about topics that are very notable in our culture in the day, when we obey them, and when we know them, and we can share with others about the Scripture. And people realize, wow, the Bible talks about topics that are pertinent to everyday life today. Yes, it does. May the Lord open up doors that we might speak how the Word of God applies not only to topics out in the world, but to our very hearts. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Seems it's so easy for people to fly off the handle, to get angry, get confrontational. But Jesus did not do that. He spoke the truth. He was not a brawler. He was gentle. He showed meekness to all men. Although he had all the authority and all the power to be able to do whatsoever he wanted, that was put under control. And we need to be careful to speak evil of no man. He says, why? He says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. There are a lot of foolish people with foolish ideas. There's a lot of violence. And it can raise our emotions too. But what is the light that we shine? What is the radiant glow that comes forth from the believer and our life and our conversation? It's that we were once in darkness. But God's light through the gospel has shone into our hearts and showed us that there is a better way. Jesus taught us to repent from deeds of sin and evil. And he taught us that it doesn't need to be like that anymore. Oh, we were in those shoes. And we need to remember that. As we look out in the world and want to give a testimony through what either the Word teaches or through our lives as the Holy Spirit would guide us into bringing praise to Jesus Christ and his great salvation, we remember with mercy and with pity those who are still struggling to find their way. And those who even resist the truth. And as it were, as Jesus said to Paul, he kicked against the pricks. He's fighting against himself. Going down dead ends. We were sometimes foolish. We heard about that on Wednesday night. And we all remember the excuses that we've made of turning God away when before we humbled ourselves before his feet and came to his cross for our cleansing. We were foolish, and we see now with new eyes that God has changed. We look back at those things that seemed so important, and they felt so strong, those influences, and yet now we look back and we see them, yeah, they were foolish. And we don't want to go back to that. God has changed the way that we think about joy, truth, and love. We were disobedient. We were deceived. We were deceived by Satan, deceived by our own lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. This is remembering the old life. And the Word says that old things should be passed away. And all things should become new in Jesus Christ. And we look to those who have not found the Lord. And we remember we were once in those shoes. But thanks be to God for his mercy. Thanks be to God for his kindness and love that appeared. After that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. This pearl of great price, this precious gift that we cherish, was not one that we have earned, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, not merely a washing of reformation and changing some of the few bad things that might have practiced, but a new birth that is performed by the will of God and his capability, a washing and a cleansing of all of our heart and mind, and a renewing of the Holy Ghost. Sin, in its deception, leaves a man or woman with guilt, shame, and filth. And we need that cleansing. Not just a cleansing of reformation, of doing better, but a new heart, a new mind, new life that is brought about by the Holy Spirit. When Adam was formed, God breathed into his nostrils that breath of life. When a man is born again, God provides his Holy Spirit to direct, to remind, to instruct, and to transform our lives, to make us new, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And we should pray for that Holy Spirit would be granted to us more and more each day through Jesus Christ our Savior, that we might understand and know his will for our lives and be led and be reminded how to walk, how to relate towards those that are without. Which he shed abundantly on us through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We're made right with God by God's grace, that we should be heirs according to the hope of eternal life. A great blessing in that, beyond what our words could even express. There's a great invitation in that to all that would thirst for peace, who thirst for forgiveness, who thirst for freedom from sin and from the bondage of Satan, would seek that through Jesus Christ our Lord. How could anybody turn this down? Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not. Jesus said, if they have not believed my commandment, they won't believe yours also. And for the years since Jesus walked on this earth in his earthly ministry, the word has been available. It has been taught, it has been opened. Churches have been closed, and then they've been reopened. And people still reject. That'll change one day, right? People get it, won't they? It'll come to a point when they'll see. I mean, things are going to get bad, and then they're going to have no choice, and they're going to understand. They'll be convinced, right? I have time. No, from Jesus' teaching, they rejected. Since Jesus' teaching, there have been those that rejected. And even in the end, when the plagues come upon this earth, it says in Revelation chapter 16, the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory." It's not a foregone conclusion that people will turn. In the light of Jesus' invitation and command to repent, and freedom to do so, man has a choice, and he can choose to reject. And in time of great pressure, he can still reject, turn away. Because God doesn't force himself upon anyone. He's opened the door. His door of grace and mercy and kindness and love has appeared in Jesus Christ. He is the way. It's a beautiful truth. It's a beautiful teaching. It speaks of two choices. The first choice was God's, to send down his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We did not do something, you did not do something, nor I, that obligated God to do this. We didn't force him. He didn't owe it to us. That was his choice to grant the greatest gift to us, his only begotten Son. And then there's another choice. It's ours, whether we receive him, whether we embrace him and his cross and follow him. We know these truths. They're reminders. They're reminders of living faithfully to the Lord. Those that should believe in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Jesus said that by the love that you have one toward another, men will know that you are my disciples. Things may be spoken with great eloquence and beauty, but far more than what spoken words can tell are the lives that are lived through the power of the Spirit. It says, might be careful to maintain good works. It is a task that requires diligence and submission, a willing heart. And it's a natural fruit when we love the Lord, when we love him with all of our heart, that we will ask the questions, not the foolish questions like, what do you think about this? That's a foolish question. Ask questions like, how can I serve? What does the Bible say about this? How can I help you? May the love of God that He's poured abundantly upon us through Jesus Christ fill our hearts. This is how the fruit, as it talks about later on, that we would maintain good works for necessary uses, that they may not be unfruitful. Fruit of the Spirit, fruit of Christian living, might come forth. Heart that loves God, heart that appreciates what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Foolish questions and genealogies and contentions, strivings about the law, they're unprofitable and vain. These are things to avoid. But they're so attractive sometimes, the contentions and strivings. Because we have within us a desire to overcome things. We want to have that dominance. That's part of the nature of man. And it's attractive to get into a discussion or an argument. But where will it get us? And who has it served? It's unprofitable and vain. But the light of God through our lives is good and profitable unto men, because it shows other people there is a God in heaven above. And this person that is demonstrating the work of the Holy Spirit, they have a God. They say they have a God. And I can see it. I can tell that they have a Father in heaven who cares for them and who they rely upon and who they depend upon. They're not troubled. They take their cares to the Lord. Titus says, Paul says to Titus, a man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. This is talking about teaching the words of Jesus Christ. And there's a very strong response to deviation from the words of Jesus. To reject one who would reject the word of the Lord. Knowing that they are subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself, each and every man and woman has a choice to take the words of God, to add, to take away, to take them as they are. We'll have the consequences of those choices to live with. But we need to stand for the truth and the things that are good and profitable. The faithful sayings of the Scripture that we affirm constantly, that we hold fast to. Beloved, the Word has given us reminders of where we have come from, the lost state of sin that we were born into and chose, the choice of God, His loving mercy, the choice that we had to embrace it, and the choice that our friends have today to embrace it. It has reminded us of living a Christian life, of walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, in loving God and serving Him with all of our heart. Finally, Paul says to Titus, when I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. These are the things that are happening in Paul's life, in Titus's life, the people that they knew. It reveals something else. Titus was appointed for a task. Just like the word that is before us is appointed for a task. The beauty and radiance of Jesus' redemption is a message that is to reach to our hearts, to change and transform our lives, to bring honor and glory to God. We have been placed here for a task. All things God has created is for a purpose. But Titus his task isn't for the rest of his life. It's not very long, actually, at all. Paul's expecting Titus to leave Crete, come to Nicopolis to winter. Come to Paul. The time is short. We're given tasks. We're given life. We're given opportunity. And we're given reminders of how we need to occupy. And the Holy Spirit convicts us and teaches us and reminds us how to carry that out. The opportunities to do these things, there's a window. Not forever. Maybe that truth reminds us how small we are. How we need to be part of God's kingdom today and fulfill the things that God has called us to do. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Faith which works by love. They are well known, easily recognizable, and very well beloved. May the grace of God be with you all. Amen.
As the apostle writes to Titus, he encourages him in several places in his writings to maintain good works. And we can see in he mentions again in this third chapter, the first verse, that to obey magistrates and to be ready to every good work. And then at the end of the chapter in verse 14, he also mentions it again, let us also learn to maintain good works for necessary use, that they be not unfruitful. As well as in verse 8, he says, this is faithful saying, and these things I will that thou confirm, that I'll affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. So we're encouraged in this chapters to do good works that we would not be unfruitful and that would be profitable to men. But not only that, but that it would bring honor and glory to our Heavenly Father. May we take these words and apply them to our lives as we have learned once again today. Amen.